First part of this morning's Bible reading says, from the wilderness of sin. And if you're reading along in the Pew Bible, it's capital S, so it's not sin, that which separates us or anything like that. It's the wilderness of Sinai. So when you hear that, you're like, the wilderness of sin, and that's where they were? No, they were out by Sinai. And they quarreled and tested. Remember the name Elie Wiesel? Elie Wiesel was a prisoner of war, and he says that this story, not this one from the Bible, but this story that he tells really happened. There's some events that are dramatized and fictionalized in his book, The Trial of God, and then later in the play and the film adaptations as God on Trial aren't apocryphal, according to Elie. Wiesel says that he knows they happened because he was there. In 2008, not too long ago, Wiesel recounted to Jennifer Fraser from the Jewish Chronicle, this magazine, that the trial of God, that is recounted there, took place in Auschwitz one night during World War II, and that there were three people there. They put God on trial for oppressing the Jewish people, and when the trial was over, guess what? They found God guilty. And then after the verdict, as the story goes, those who put God on trial said their prayers and went to bed. It's a powerful moment. It's a powerful scene in the play and in the movie. But there's a particular difference in this oft-recounted version of the story that Mr. Wiesel said, and then what he said in 2008. See, what he said was, rather than saying that they found God guilty, he said that the prosecutors of God used the word chayev, which means God owes us something. Then they went to pray. And in today's Bible reading, which was also last week's Bible reading, how many of you caught up on that? Just like one person, two people saw that, okay. The Hebrew people had been given sweet water when they were traveling, and then it was bitter, and then it was sweet. But now they found themselves at their latest stop, and there was no water, and so they put God on trial. They instigated essentially a lawsuit against God to Moses for neglecting them. God owed them water. Chayev, you owe us water, they said. See, they'd been delivered out of bondage in Egypt. They had been given sweet water from the place where the water was bitter. They were getting manna every day. Remember what manna is?
Unleavened bread.
No, it's not unleavened bread. It was, the Hebrew word, or the Aramaic, manna means, what is it? So they woke up one morning and there was manna out there and they didn't know what to call it because they didn't know what it was. So they looked at it and said, what is it? And that became the name. Pardon?
Dorm food.
Yeah, dorm food? What is it? Now, there's been different things. Some people say that it's secretions from the bug. Some people say it's some other thing from the dew and a flowery substance and a paste. Whatever it was, they looked at it and said, what is it? And they ate it like a little kid. Evelyn, you're going to do that? You're going to look, what is that? That's not good. I think that they said that's good. But the Israelites had manna. They had water, and now they got to this place, and there's no water. Is it? Are you kidding? Why did you even bring us out of Egypt? With no water, we're all going to die. You and your God have got some explaining to do, Moses. As the Bible says, the people quarreled with Moses. And it sounds as if they just yelled at him, Moses, you're bad. Your God is bad. But the Hebrew word for quarrel, which is reap, it's more of a legalistic quarrel. They brought an argument to Moses and to God. They brought an argument to Moses about God. They brought a case against Moses and God. They put God on trial for neglecting them. God owed them water. And what did God do? God gave them water. Yeah. And Moses called the place Massah and Meribah, tested and quarreled, the place where the Hebrews put God on trial. And Moses, he was exasperated. What am I going to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. Moses doesn't have endless patience or understanding. He was upset. And you know, there's plenty of places in the Bible that we can find God is angry, and here comes the wrath places. One of the other readings that we could have done today is from Psalm 95, and it has a song where this little bit appears. It says, "When your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest." And then this same story, this exact story, is recounted in the book of Numbers with a little bit of a difference. Listen to this. "The Israelites, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin," or it says Zin instead of Sin, "in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Would that we have died when our kindred died before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates. There's no water to drink.' Then Moses and Aaron went away from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother Aaron, and command the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Thus you shall bring water out of the rock for them. Thus you shall provide drink for the congregation and their livestock.' So Moses took the staff before the Lord, as he had commanded them. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, 'Listen, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not trust me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and by which he showed his holiness.'" So in Numbers, little difference to the story, some punishment for not having trusted God. Little payback for suing God, it seems. Here's the problem. As much as we see some of these things, God doesn't do that. We have to look at the whole meta-narrative of the Bible that I've brought up time and time again. And that meta-narrative is God does something good. And people do what? We mess it up. We're really good at that. And then what does God do? God does something good to bring about a reconciliation, to bring about a rebuilding. And then what do? We mess up. And what does God do? God does something good. We mess up, God rebuilds. We mess up, God rebuilds. That's the message of the entire Bible. And where the Bible strays from this meta-narrative of it, well, we have to own it. But a really good way to look at that is, seriously, people wrote this. And people wrote from their experience. And they wrote what they thought was happening. And so if there was a tragedy, of course, they said God did it. Instead of maybe saying, we don't have water. If something bad happened after they did something bad, they attributed it to an angry God. But the story of the Bible is that God is out for reconciliation. God is out to rebuild. We're the ones who keep breaking things. Maybe that's the human condition. I don't know. Even though we can find it in the Bible, it's definitely not present in today's reading. And in both cases, the real complaint, the real court case, the real trial, the real lawsuit is about a lack of water. Not about God is awful, but we don't have any water. That's what the people were saying. There's no water. We have to have water to live. And in both cases, God's real response is, here's some water. That fits. Over and over and over again, God finds a way to bring restoration, to bring healing, to bring life, regardless of what humanity does. So in the meta-narrative of the Bible, in our views as people of faith, hopefully in the human condition, really, restoration wins. Healing wins. Life wins. Love wins. Again and again and again. We learn to be a people of compassion, a people of mercy, a people of forgiveness, and a people of love. And we can follow the most important example from this morning's reading, bringing refreshment to the thirsty. Amen.